Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth, on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Sacred Divergence Radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton. And tonight we will be talking more about Beltane, and specifically about my trip to the Turtle Hill Events Beltane. And I must say that I am sad to be home. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful trip. And I just want to thank my partners, Toby and Sarah, for making it a fantastic time, as always. I met them last year at Beltane, and so this is kind of our first anniversary. So on the first day, it was Wednesday, I got there about 4 o'clock p.m., and I met a good friend of mine there, and we laughed and we chatted and we caught up with each other. And then it was time to check in for registration, which I did. I didn't join the coffee club, which was a club that you could get all you could drink coffee and tea and hot cocoa for the weekend, although my partners did. I'm going to go to the Turtle Hill Events website now and give you a little bit of an overview of what Beltane at Turtle Hill Events consists of. And so basically, Turtle Hill Events is a group of people who formulate these ideas and create these lovely events. And it is a sacred sexuality event that has been going on for more than a decade, bringing people together from all walks of life who believe that sex is a sacred thing. And it's been a long weekend of fun, learning, laughter, love, ritual, and ecstasy. And their rituals are absolutely fantastic. Their workshops cover everything sensual, sexual, and sacred. And the experiences were ecstatic and practical, and opportunities given to connect on the deepest levels with others of a like mind. There is something there for everyone, from flirting to intercourse, from sacred connection to bondage, and everything everyone loves to do is available there. They embrace all sexualities. They're a pansexual gathering with attendees from every type of gender identification and sexual orientation. And their large group rituals help shape an event that is unforgettable. So basically, it's a sacred sexuality event, and I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of sex, both indoors and outdoors, even though I did get a little bit of sunburn outside after we danced around the maypole. There was a beautiful opening ritual led by IP Cookie Monster. And she's just a lovely person, and all the ritualists were awesome. It was amazing. I got to drum during a Blue Star tradition ritual, which was awesome, and I was very honored to be able to do that, along with three other drummers, as the revelers danced around and laughed and giggled and had fun. And then on Friday, I had a catharsis ritual, and it was a flogging ritual. I was ritually flogged of all of my stuff. All the stuff that we cling to was beaten out of me, and it was unlike anything that I have experienced in my entire life, and it was awesome. I cried, and all was made well, and it was a sacred thing. And it was great. It was amazing. It was so much fun. I had never experienced anything like it before, and it's just indescribable. Like, if you weren't there to see it, I can't really describe it to you, per se. But, so yeah, that was the majority of my weekend. I got to meet some old friends and meet some new friends. And I got to spend the weekend with several other people in our cabin. We had a nice cabin, and the food was just incredible this year. It wasn't so great last year, but they got a new chef this year. So it was really awesome. It was really great. They had something for vegetarians and meat eaters alike, so it was a nice spread overall. The weather was fair, I would say. The nights got a little bit chilly, you know, but we had a lot of blankets and naked cuddling, so that helped with the body heat, keeping everybody warm. And I really got to connect with the land, I think, at this event. Sometimes I went barefoot, other times I wore my sandals, but there was just this sense of overwhelming awe and awesomeness and unforgettable love and adventure and merriment. I mean, the merriment was out the window, man. There was just so much great things going on there at all times of day and night. There was the Primal Arts Gathering, which is basically a group of people who set up a camp for primal arts revelers. And that was a group of primalists, I call them. And they had dancing and drumming and sex and singing and a big bonfire, and it was just great. It was a body positive event, so, you know, clothing was optional, which was awesome. I basically wore my skirt all weekend, my long, flowing, gypsy-like skirt, a 7-yard circle skirt, to be more exact. And, you know, it was great to feel the sunshine on my skin and to be able to revel in the sun and the moon. And I had my cloak with me for warmth. And for an impromptu blanket, if we just wanted to sit on the grass, because I'm allergic to grass, which I found out last year at this event. You know, and there was just so much sensuality and sexuality. And I think this is something that we need to not shy away from, but embrace, all of us. I highly recommend this event for anyone looking to explore their own sexuality. And, you know, go into it with an open mind, because during the workshops and during the other events that are going on there, you will find yourself opened up to spirit and one of the best things about the event is about the presenters. There were some of the best from around the country there. There was Lord Percival, Murphy and Diamond Blue, Strange Bird. Let me go to the program books that they had. I know that Corsetien was the person who led the flogging ritual. Let me open the book here. It's an e-reader format, so it's taking a little longer. So they also had a space called the Red Tent, which was a sacred space dedicated to the divine feminine. And they had daily workshops there, and each evening they offered a different event or ritual to manifest inner desires. And it was lush with sensual colors and fabrics. And the Red Tent honors the collective experience as women. And it was a supportive and a respectful environment to each woman that finds her place inside the collective. And it was a place to embody the divine feminine. And they had a lot of good stuff going on there, which is awesome. You know, we as women, especially, can't get enough of body positiveness and good stuff like that, you know, because all too often, the media and popular society tries to condemn us and make us feel shame for what we are. And this, the Red Tent, is a way to reclaim who we are and what we are as women and as men who respect women. And so, yeah. Let's see. There was Amy Sinatra, who led sensual full body movement class. There were a couple of BDSM 101 classes going on. There was a class on flirting by Lord Percival. There was a class on safe sex in the poly world. There was one by Beth and Preston. You can go to their website, bethandpreston.com. Exploring Intuition, which I attended, and it was great. Somebody drew out of a bag my necklace, which each of us had contributed a small item of personal significance to us, and we're told to read it or make up a story about its energy and about what the object was for. And the first woman drew out my necklace, and I knew before she reached her hand into the bag that she was going to get my necklace. I knew it. Don't ask me how. It was just this intuitive thing. But that was awesome. And I got a lip balm, a little case of lip balm from somebody, and I intuited a couple of things off of that. And we each shared our stories, and then we learned how, excuse me, I'm tired, long day of traveling. And then we learned how to send and receive psychic information. It was a participatory workshop, and there were a lot of good ideas that were tossed around. And Beth and Preston are just an amazing couple. They're a little bit older, but that's okay too, because, you know, I think that everyone has the right to enjoy themselves for as long as humanly possible, age and gender set aside. So that was a fun class that I got to attend. Another class that I attended, the first one that I attended, was Risking Connection, Setting Intent for Intimacy at Events. And that one addressed how to examine goals for intimacy at an event and how to connect and communicate about those goals quickly and easily within the flow of spontaneity and connection, and how the environment of conventions or events magnifies the intensity of the connection, and how to choose whether you sustain that connection with a partner after the event or whether you allow it to just be an event connection, which was helpful. We also covered how to use opportunities for intimacy and sexual connection with new people to enhance intimacy with existing partners and the ethical considerations of that. And it basically ensures consent around each other's hopes and the possible after effects of engaging in intense intimacy at an event. And it was all great. It was wonderful. and after Fove is, I guess, listening now, hopefully, as he sent me this message, so you get your monogamous straight friend to listen to this show laughing out loud. And, well, yeah, I think that a monogamous straight person could definitely have a lot to benefit from a class or an event like this. You know, like I said, there were people from all walks of life there, mono, straight, gay, bi, pansexual, polyamorous, monogamous, you name it, you got it. Kinks, freaks, and geeks all the way around. It was just, it was awesome. It was pagan and primal and sensual and just great. It was so amazing. I can't describe to you guys how awesome it was. There were just so many connections on such an ethereal level. And, you know, there were people in the cabins and people outside in tents. And, you know, over the weekend, as more and more people got there, we could see the progression of the tent city building. And that was an awesome sight to see, you know. One day there were just a few, and then the next there were more, and then the next there were even more, until it was like a little city, a miniature city, and on, and it was great. And, you know, we got to dance the maypole, and I got to help construct the maypole, actually. I got to help straighten out the ribbons that we used, which were extra long, because the maypole was really tall. And there will be pictures that I will post online, worry not. And so that was a lot of fun. There was a class on how to do it beforehand for those of us who were beginners. And this is only my second maypole dance. But I think I did fairly well. You know, it's just basically weaving in and out of people. We begin in a circle, each of us holding a ribbon, and it works well in even numbers. So we had about 18 people there, I would say. Each of us had a ribbon. And there were other people there to clap and dance along and monitor the music and such, and make sure that everybody was going in the proper direction at the proper time. And it was a lot of fun. It was great fun. Basically, weaving the goddess around the god, the maypole representing the phallus of the god, and the goddess's genitals represented by the ribbons. And it was just great. And I can't really describe to you the deeper meanings of Beltane for me. Because it is such a heartwarming, affirmative place for me. And so yeah, that was basically my weekend. I hope all of you might consider going to this event at least once in your lifetimes. preferably sooner rather than later, lest it be an event that passes into the realms of no longer existing. I hope it goes on for at least another 50 years so that I can keep going to it. It was held at the Ramblewood Campground in Darlington, Maryland, and that was an over 200-acre campground. And, you know, it had running water and toilets and sinks for us to wash our hands and showers. So, you know, it's not like you're going out and roughing it in the middle of nowhere. It's very comfortable. And it felt like kind of like a shared hotel room, except without room service. So something good, something bad, a bit of both. That is Beltane. You know, we got our freak on, and lots of people got their freak on in the dungeon this year, in the play space it's called. And you know, everything was safe, sane, and consensual, and that is at the heart of what being kinky is all about, I believe. In all of our practices, you know, we have to keep in mind the safety of others, the safety of ourselves, both mental and physical and spiritual. But I digress. That's like another topic for another show, which I might do one of these days. So let's go into a short song break here. We are approaching the bottom of the hour. And then I will think of something else to talk about as my well of inspiration for talking about Beltane has kind of run dry. Let's go with Castalia Alexandrian's God of the Grain and Wild. And I will pick something else after that. I hope you enjoy the music. And keep listening to us here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network's Sacred Divergence Radio.
God of the grain wild, Lord of the sky, Son of the cauldron's womb, stacked horns and eye, lighter than breath I am, born out of death I am, dancing upon the wind, see how I fly. Feel on their dying day.
I am his daughter. I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird. I am his daughter. And like the flame, I am wild, 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 wild. I am the firebird. I am his daughter. I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird, the boldest song you've ever heard. Join in the dance and make it wild, wild, wild. Join in the dance and make it wild. To see a maiden dance around the fire is not so strange, but fire dances around the limbs of this uncommon maid. Be brave enough to burn and you'll be brave enough to fly. Join your sister Solace as she lights the morning sky. I am the firebird. I am his daughter. I am the firebird's child.
welcome back to Sacred Divergence Radio. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, Sacred Divergence Radio. And we are talking about my vacation at Beltane. And I'm going to read to you a passage, a writing from a person who attended Beltane. And it's entitled, What I Gained from This Year's Beltane. That the path I'm fighting for is the right one. That all the struggles, the tears, the blood, and pain isn't for nothing. I am a warrior in many forms. I will fight for my beloved and my beloved, slaying all obstacles that try to get in my way. I am fighting to be at one with my body and at peace with my ever-shifting shape. I will be victorious in this war, even though I have lost many battles. I lost 7 pounds at the Beltane, by the way. I defend my ever-shifting spiritual self. It seems lately, and for the past few months, I'm being called by gods and goddesses and their spirits that I've not sought after, but believe they have sought me. Perhaps that makes sense. I met some great people that I will take a piece of their beautiful spirit and energy with me and hopefully carry it with protection till the next time we cross again. I give thanks to the universe providing. Was blessed with and receiving an unexpected cathartic experience with needles and a wonderful energy exchange. Something so small that pulled something magnificent and powerfully enlightening to life. I give thanks for her. I felt recognition with former partners, and I'm astoundingly happy that their lives have found partners that are enhancing their lives with love and soul, and I look forward to the day I meet them. I give thanks for them, and they will always have an extremely special place in my heart forever. I reconnected with my fire and primal family, however little and minor it may be. I consider myself a part of the tribe when the universe sees fit. I love my drum and fire family. However, this Beltane, I feel that I was steered another way for personal deep reflection. And as much as my body wanted to be fireside, my soul and my spiritual self reminded me that my work was not complete. I blessed the four temples with some self-love and prayers, and I was blessed with a peaceful soul recharge. So I give many thanks and much love. And so that's one passage from a person who attended the event. And in the chat room, we have a couple of people and a guest. Hello to Afterfove, my good mono straight friend, and Apu Admanagama from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And Apu Admanagama says that Beltane for him is a special day. In the Philippines, it is a day of in-between, which some Filipino pagans do celebrate the Feast of the Fairies, or as they're called in the Philippines, Encanto. I hope I pronounced that right. And so I'm going to read to you now a detailed history of Beltane so that you might gain a greater understanding of this fire festival. Margaret Bennett in 2006 said there have been many waves of Beltane festivals, each in its own generation with a different facet, but all saying, we need to celebrate. To the pastoral Celtic peoples of Europe, the changing pattern of the seasons was a matter of life and death, and marking these changes, key moments in the life of the community. Beltane, or Bright Fire, was one such marker celebrated in various forms across Ireland and Scotland as the starting point of summer. A celebration of the time of light and growth to come, Beltane was associated with a variety of practices, from the display of fresh greenery to the baking of Beltane bannocks. And a bannock is an unleavened cake or bread. Perhaps the most important element, however, was the lighting of Beltane fires on the 1st of May, which would recall the growing power of the sun and provide an opportunity to cleanse and renew the conditions of a community, both humans and their animals, that had spent the dark months indoors. In Scotland, the lighting of Beltane fires, around which cattle were driven and over which brave souls danced and leapt, would survive into modern times, although a process of slow decline saw towns and villages slowly abandoning the practice in the 19th century. The last Beltane fire, recorded in Helmsdale, took place in 1820. In the middle years of the century of the fires of the century, the fires of Fife sputtered out, and by the 1870s, they would go unlit in the Shetland Isles. By the start of the 20th century, Edinburgh, which had for a time immemorial seen beacons lit on Arthur's Seat, ceased such public Beltane celebrations. In 1988, Edinburgh's Beltane fires were brought to life once more, led by Angus Farquhar, who took part in the first Beltane performance. The inspiration here was that the idea of recreating a sense of community and appreciation of the cyclical nature of the seasons and our connection to the environment. With the aid of choreographer Lindsay John and the folklorist Margaret Bennett of Edinburgh's University School of Scottish Studies, this first performance drew on existing folk traditions surrounding Beltane to create a modern celebration of the festival, which has continued to grow and evolve as the years have gone by. The first modern Beltane saw only 5 performers take to Calton Hill, watched by an audience of 50 to 100 people. Within 5 years, this had grown to several hundred performers and 3,000 audience members, during which time the society came into place to support the continuation of the festival. While Arthur's Seat had traditionally been the location for Edinburgh's Beltane celebrations, at the time of the planning of the new Beltane Festival, a location was needed that was more accessible and central, while still maintaining an association with nature and the environment. Calton Hill, also at that time, had a bad reputation relating to sex and drugs, and was a no-go area of the city, and part of the aim was to reclaim that space for the local community through our celebrations. As the Beltane Fire Festival had grown and developed, change has been inevitable. In 1992, Angus Farquhar organized his last Beltane, and the following year, the Beltane Fire Society formed to take on his mantle. By 1999, audience numbers had reached 10,000, and in 2001, the festival took on its first paid production manager to coordinate the growing event, currently a part-time paid role in an otherwise volunteer organization. Growing costs, attendance numbers, and council licensing requirements meant that in 2004, the decision was made for the previously free event to be ticketed for the first time. An admission charge did little to affect the festival's popularity, however, and in 2004, the event sold out for the first time with an audience of 12,000. In recent years, the audience has varied between 6,000 and 12,000 people, experiencing a cast of around 300 performers, plus support groups, technicians, and production groups. As Beltane has got bigger, it also expanded out with the night itself, part of a cultural milieu which has helped to spawn several performance groups which would move beyond the bounds of Beltane. Most notable was the Pooka, a performing arts charity which for many years had a symbolic relationship with the festival, sharing personal headquarters and, in its early years, the name Beltane Productions. The charitable objectives of the society, which in part seeks to raise awareness of the quarter days of the Scottish seasonal calendar, have also expanded its own performances to mark these complementary festivals. While the festivals of Imbolc and Lunasagh have generally been small, informal affairs for members of the society, the most established alternate celebration is Samhain, the 31st of October, when the coming of winter is marked by a public procession in Edinburgh city centre. Despite these changes, the Beltane Fire Society remains a volunteer-run community charity, with the performance on the night itself as at its core. And while the performance itself has grown and changed, it has firmly retained key elements. The procession of the May Queen, the death and rebirth of the Green Man, the lighting of the bonfire, which provide a backbone of continuity while allowing a huge amount of flexibility within each group and each character as to how they wish to engage with and shape the story of our festival. The Beltane fires have returned to Edinburgh in a vibrant, modern tradition which has become a world-renowned spectacle. And I encourage everyone to go to BeltaneFireSociety.wordpress.com, and Beltane is spelled B-L-T-A-N-E, FireSociety.wordpress.com, and look them up. They have a lot of awesome pictures there. They have a lot of different articles. And so, yeah, that was a brief history of the Beltane Fire Society's Fire Festival. And, oh, yes, Apu remarks that I pronounced Samhain correctly, I believe it was. Some people pronounce it Samhain as it is spelled, but it is actually pronounced Samhain. And because it's a Gaelic word. But that is another episode entirely. All right, folks, I am going to get ready to go to bed. I'm going to play about 10 minutes of music for our outro here. And I'm going to say goodnight. I hope you all have had a lovely Beltane. I can't wait for next year's Beltane. And if I'm still on the air, I will definitely update you about that as the months go by. Oh, he was remarking on Encanto, not Samhain. So let's see. I think I will close out with Cheshire Kitten by S.J. Tucker, and I will find something else to go out with as well, probably Hymn to Hearn and one other song. And that should take us to the top of the hour. Let me give you guys briefly my contact information. LizHamilton88@gmail.com is my email address. Please feel free to email me. I check that email constantly. You can find me on Twitter at VelocipedeLiz. That is at VelocipedeLiz. And you can also hit me up on Facebook at any time. I have multiple channels through which you can do this. But the most popular one would be the Sacred Divergence Radio Facebook page. Just look us up on there. You can also find my Elizabeth Hamilton Media page by searching for Elizabeth Hamilton Media. And you can also find my Reverend public figure page. Just search for Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton and it will take you there. All right, my folks and my friends and my community, I love you. I wish you all a wonderful Beltane. Happy summer. Happy May Day. If you're going to dance the Beltane Maypole, please do so with love and joy and revelry in your hearts and in your minds. And if you can't, if you're in a place that prohibits such activities, then sit down and meditate and go inside of yourselves and find that which is bright and new and fresh like spring green spring grass, and let it grow and let it nurture the hope and the love and the peace within each and every one of you. And with this I say, blessed be. Here is S.J. Tucker's Cheshire Kitten, followed by the same artist, Hymn to Hearn.
I grew up seeing things a little differently, appearing, disappearing, hardly innocent, nor tied down to the ground. I learned to roll and tumble with the punches, glory in my stripes and spots, walk by invisible and never make a sound. But heavy is the crown that's always hidden. tender is the heart you never see. Hard and fast shines the grin that we flash, but there's a vulnerable stripe or two on me. Maybe any place outside a wonderland is not for me, my friend. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. Sun up, sun down, the shadows hide me down in Wonderland, Wonderland. Nobody knows the way, but if you find it in your dreams, you can find it at your day job, somewhere south of hell. Take the path to left or right with just your gut to guide you. The story is not for anyone else to tell. To see and hear everybody loud and clear, but the truth comes down in riddles that are safe enough to share. That's how it is in songs you see in stripes. Always looks good on me, whether or not I'm really there. Heavy is the burden of the wise ones when no one understands a word they say. The Jabberwock never bothered anyone, but nobody believes him to this day. Hey, and why should they? If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. Sun up, sun down, the shadows find me out in Wonderland, Wonderland. Nobody knows the way, but if you find it in your dreams, you can find it at your day job, somewhere south of hell. Take the path to left or right with just a gut to guide you. The story is not for anyone else to tell. For diamonds, baby, brought you here to me. Darling, you know better than to trust a pack of cards. What have we learned? The world is never as mad as it could be. Never as mad as it could be. Remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay.
Your prayers, work your rites, burn your little candle day and night. You can shimmy till dawn to the pounding drums, but you best be ready when the horn one comes. Yeah. If you wake to the sound of a hunting horn, you dance a ring in the gathering storm. If the solstice time, get your panties in a wad. Just the coming of the horn god, he will call you out, make you sweat. sweat. Give you a blessing that you'll never forget. Revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Hey. Hunter who tracks outside of time, guardian lord of ancient rhyme. Brother stag in the musky glen, consort of the goddess in the woodland den. We call you forth as we make our way, walking in your power every day. Guide us through in our hunt this night, and maybe even later in the great right. He will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one.
Blessed are the children of the horned one.
Yeah. To the sound of a hunting dance, ring in the gathering storm. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Be ready, little one. You best be ready when the horned one comes. He's gonna call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. Revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one.